Today's shir is Masech Techulin Daf Chav Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Chav Zayin on an Aleph at our new parak. Our parak that we will, Mitzvah Shem, begin learning now primarily discusses the halachas of Shechita, the actual details of the halachas of Shechita that is the main subject of this Masechta. As the Rishonim point out, we believe that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that the way to be able to eat meat is by actually shechting, by doing shechita on the animal, on the bird, as we're going to learn. However, the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch both give reasons why the Torah says that an animal should be shechted. That's the way an animal should be killed. One explanation they give, as we know, and as we will actually in Mitzvah Shem discuss in today's shir, the Torah is very concerned that we shouldn't eat any blood, and by killing the animal through shechita, that's a way that we could make sure that all of the blood, the Torah makes sure that all of the blood is drained from the animal. That's one pshat that the Rishonim suggest. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that, of course, the Torah is concerned about Tsar Bali Chaim, and Shechita is a way of killing the animal in a painless way. The Mefarshim go on to explain that that is actually what the Torah specifies, that only certain animals, we know animals that are Mafras Parsa Maligera, that have split hooves and chew their cud, those are the only animals we're allowed to eat, because the Torah understood that those animals, when killed through a method of shechita, are less likely to feel any pain, which, as I said, the Torah is concerned about. So says the Mishnah, Shaykh Ech Ba'if, if somebody shechts one simon by an oif, we know that the two simonim are the kana and the veshit, the trachea and the esophagus. So if one shechts only one of those simonim by bird, or shnayim, you shechts two shnayim, both of the simonim by an animal, shitasa ksheira, it's a valid shechita, v'ruva shalach kamayu, and continues the Mishnah to teach us that a majority of a simon is adequate, one must not shech the entire simon. Rav Yehuda goes on to say, ach yishcha es veridin, not only must one shech the actual simonim, but he also has to cut by a bird the viridim. What exactly the viridim are? Some say it's the jugular veins, others say it's the carotid arteries. And the reason they have to be slaughtered, they have to be punctured, is, as we said at the beginning of our shir, because we need to be able to drain the blood from the animal. And by shechting by cutting these arteries or these veins, we are able to drain the animal of the blood. As we will discuss in Mitzvah Shem when we learn this sugya more in depth in the Gemara, many Rishonim are of the opinion that firstly, what Rabbi Yehuda says is only by birds, not by animals, and furthermore, what Rabbi Yehuda says is only lechatchila b'di'evid, if one did not cut the veridin, the shechita is kosher. As we'll see, there may be a difference if the veridin, if the bird is cut up after it's slaughtered, there the need to cut the veridin is less versus when the animal is kept whole, that we need to cut the veridin to drain the blood. Continues the Mishnah, chatzi echad ba'oif, if somebody slaughtered a half of a simon by a bird, vechad v'chatzi b'behema, and he shechted a simon and a half by an animal, shechitas ha'ksula, it's not a valid shechita. And as Tosfos points out, when the Mishnah says chatzi echad ba'oif, there's really nothing new, because the Mishnah already, at the beginning of the Mishnah, taught us that a proper shechita requires shechting at least rive of the simon by a bird. So therefore Taisha says, the reason the Mishnah teaches us this then is because The Mishnah began that by an animal we have to shecht roiv of the two simonim. So one would perhaps think that if he shechts a simon and a half by an animal, it's the same as if he shecht roiv of two simonim, because a simon and a half is the same as roiv of two simonim. That's why our Mishnah has to teach us that that isn't acceptable, that the only way to shecht is by shechting at least roiv of each simon. And once the Mishnah had to teach us that din by a animal, the Mishnah repeated that a chatzi simon by an oif is an invalid shechita. Concludes the Mishnah, roiv echad ba'oif, roiv shnayim ba'behema. If most of one simon was shechted by an oif, or most of two by behema, halach is shechitasik shera. And as a mitzvah, we will learn in the Gemara why the Mishnah needs to repeat this din that we seemingly have already learned in this Mishnah. Begins the Gemara. Our Mishnah started with the word hashoichet, which seems to indicate the evet in v'chatchil olay, that the type of shechita that was mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah is only valid the evet na l'chatchila. But ask the Gemara, shnayim v'behem l'chatchil olay, why isn't shechting most of this shechting the two simonim by animal not kosher l'chatchila? Ad kama l'shchit v'lezel, what is expected to be done more than this? And as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara's question is from the word hashoichet, which means the evet. There are Rishonim that suggest that the Gemara's question is from the word kshera, which also seems to only indicate that it's kosher b'dievet. Answers the Gemara, Ibois Eima Echad Bois. What the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that even though the Mishnah said that you only have to shecht one simon by an oif in order that it should be a kosher shechita, that, says the Gemara, is only b'dievet. L'chatchila, Chazal wanted both simonim to be cut. And we explain the Gemara, at least at this point, like Rashi, that midaraisa, the Torah only required the shechita by an oif of one simon, but midrabanon, both simonim should be cut. Vibay seima, another way of explaining, is aruba shalachet kamadu, that what the Mishnah has come to teach us, that even though the Mishnah said that shechting roiv of the simon is adequate, that's midaraisa. But the Rabbanon wanted that most of this, that the entire simon should be cut. And again, the reason that we're following Rashi's approach, that these are dinim de Rabbanon, that Chazal either wanted that both simonim should be cut, because if only one simon is cut, we need to be concerned that that simon wasn't cut properly, the shechita is an invalid shechita. Or this teretz, Chazal did not want to rely on roiv, because we're only going to shecht roiv, there's a concern that even roiv will not have been slaughtered, and that's why Chazal said that the entire simon should be cut. As the Prima Gaon explains, there are really three ways of viewing the two terutzim that the Gemara just offered. One way is that the two terutzim are disagreeing. In other words, the two terutzim, each teretz has a different perspective of where Chazal made a gzeira. The first teretz hold that we need to be concerned more about both simonim being slaughtered, but need not be concerned roiv is good enough. The second teretz is more concerned that at least the simon that we shecht should be slaughtered entirely and not just roiv, but the second teretz will not hold that both simonim need to be cut. The other approach that the Prima Gaon suggests is that indeed the first teretz agrees that both chumras should be followed. That means we should l'chatchila shecht both simonim entirely, and that the second teretz is coming to be a little more lenient and says that you only have to shecht the entire simon, but you don't have to shecht both simonim by a bird. And the third approach that the Prima Gaon suggests is that the two terutzim aren't arguing. and this is the approach of many Rishonim, but rather what the two Terutzim are giving us two different Chumras. One Chumra is that by an oif, by a bird, don't just rely on the Shechita of one Simon, cut both Simonim, and furthermore, don't des do roiv, but shech the entire Simon. So we've explained the Gemara, as I said, Rashi explains the Gemara, that what's being taught here is a din derabbanan. The mid derabbanan we should be machmer, but there are rishonim that take a different approach, and their approach is that actually what the Gemara is saying is that midoraisa, there's a difference between lechatchila and bidiyavid. The bidiyavid by a bird just shechting roiv of one siman is enough, but bidiyavid, the Torah teaches us, but lechatchila shecht both entirely, but the avid shechting roiv of one is enough. Of course, the question when learning this approach is that usually this concept of lechatchila and b'di'evid is only found by the rabbanans, not by d'oraisa. So how do we have all of a sudden here a concept of lechatchila and b'di'evid? So I saw two different approaches in the Achronim how to understand that why here, even by d'oraisa, do we have a concept of lechatchila and b'di'evid. One is the approach of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says as follows, that indeed, the way that Shechita was told to be done was to do roiv, to do all of the simon. However, since there's a halacha concept throughout all areas of halacha, that rubik kula, so we apply that halacha concept here as well, and therefore the Mishnah tells us that shechting roiv is adequate. So in other words, the way the Chasam Sofer is explaining, there are two separate halachic considerations here. And actually, the wording of the Mishnah is very much in line with this. Because if we, and the Mefarshim make this point, they say if we look in the Mishnah's wording at the beginning seems to be very bariches, very redundant. But now, according to Chasam Sofer, we can understand what the Mishnah is saying. First, the Mishnah is teaching us how should shechita be done. Shechet echet ba'oif, shecht an entire simon by the oif, shnaim behema shecht two simon by the behema. Shechitasik shere, that's the way shechita should be done. Then the Mishnah teaches us, as the Chasam Sofer says, that there's another halachic principle that we consider, and that is the halachic principle of Rubi Shalachet Kamayu, that we follow roif. That's the Chasam Sofer's approach. Then I saw a very nice pshat from Yosher Ben Soloveitchik. He explains as follows, and it goes back to actually how we began the first perek as well. We discussed that there's a question, what does Shechita accomplish? What is the purpose of Shechita? Is Shechita a mitzvah, or is Shechita a matter? When we say that Shechita is a matter, what we mean to say is that in order to be able to eat meat, we have to shecht. So, says Rabbi Yosher Ben, it could be that that's the basis of this machloikus, how to understand our Gemara. If we suggest that Shechita is a mitzvah, so when we speak about a mitzvah, there we can understand there's a difference between lechatchila and b'di'evid. There's a lechatchila the way how to perform a mitzvah, and there's a b'di'evid the way on how to perform a mitzvah, even midoraisa. But if we, on the other hand, and that will be the approach of these Rishonim, who say that this is a rule, midoraisa. If, however, he says, we view Shechita as a matter, so the Torah tells us what needs to be done in order to be able to eat the meat, and there is no reason to differentiate between Lechatchil and B'di'evid, and therefore we're going to have to suggest, the Rishonim are going to have to hold that this din that we're discussing now in the Gemara is only Midrabon. Says the Gemara, Kamash Simon, Amrav Kahana, Menayim l'shchita shemin atzava. How do we know that shchita has to be done from the neck? Says the Gemara Shenema, because the pasuk says v'shachat es ben habakar. So we learn from here mimakim shesach, from where the animal bends down chateyu. That's where it should be cleaned. The two
soften the Rashi suggests in Chateyu. One pshat Rashi suggests is that's where it should be cleaned, that's where the blood should be drained. Another pshat the Rashi suggests Chateyu means it should be purified, because by going killing the animal by its neck, now we can eat from, it becomes ritually pure, and we can eat from this animal. Ask the Gemara, Amamai de Chateyu, the high Chateyu listen to Chuyuhu, and how do we know that we should define the word Chateyu this way? Answers the Gemara de Ksiv, the Chitei Sabayis. We know that when the Kohen, when there's a house that has a Neged Saras, the Torah says, V'chitei, so it should either mean clean or purify. Vibay Seim Mahacha, a posik that says Tachti Eini Be'ezov V'tohar, which means either I'll be pure, ritually clean or physically clean. Ask the Gemara if we're saying that Shechita has to take place from a place that bends Ve'emim Iznavot, maybe it should be from the tail of the animal which also bends. Answers the Gemara Sach, the word Sach seems to indicate Meklal Shezokabina, that's a place that it could be erect and it could bend. So then the neck could be standing and could be bending. The tail is always bending. Ask the Gemara, Ve'imami Oznoi, maybe it means from the ear, which also could be bent. Answers the Gemara, Bein and Dama Nefesh. As we learned in Masechta Zvachim, there are actually three types of blood in an animal. Dama Nefesh, which is the life blood. Dama Tamsis, which is the blood that oozes out afterwards. And Dama Evarim, blood that's in the organs and the limbs. And as we learned, when a carbon is brought, and we have to do Kabbalah Sadam and Zrika Sadam, the Kabbalah Sadam and Zrika Sadam have to be done with the Dam HaNefesh. The Dam HaNefesh is by the neck. The Dam HaNefesh is not by the ears. And as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have actually made this point as well when it discussed, when it asked the question, Miznavoy, why we shouldn't be able to do Shita from the tail. But there the Gemara had a different reason why it's not an acceptable Shita. So the Gemara used that reason. And now the Gemara is using, but now this question actually could have been asked there as well. So says the Gemara, we can't suggest that the Shita should be done from the ear, because there is no Dam HaNefesh there. Ask the Gemara, but the Kar of Ozal Dam HaNefesh. Maybe the Torah tells us to do Shita by the ear. And the way to do a shechita by the ear is to keep on cutting and let the animal bleed until we get to the dam nefesh. And then says the Gemara, actually, the su shia, the halacha that we learned, that and we'll discuss all these halachas in this perek in Hashem. Shia, that one is not allowed to pause in the middle of the shechita. Drasa, that the shechita should be done with halacha by va, the back and forth motion, not by pressing the knife on the neck of the animal. Had chalada, that the shechita, that the knife should be put on top of the neck of the animal, not inside between the simonim. Hagroma, that the knife should be put in the right place, it shouldn't be put on a slant. Viikur, that there should be no pegimas in the knife, or that the simonim should not be taken out of their proper place. Minoan, that we know that these are the fundamental halachas of shechita. From where do we know all these halachas? El Gemara, there was a Messiah. How shechita is to be formed. Says the Gemara, shechita menatzava nami Gemara. The halach that shechita should be done from the neck is also included in that Masorah. Ask the Gemara, if so, the pasuk that we began with, krala mai asa. What did the pasuk come to teach us? Answers the Gemara, the pasuk comes to teach us, the leleshavya gistra, that the animal should not be cut into two. And there are many pshatim in the Rishonim, what does leleshavya gistra mean? One pshat, the pshat that Rashi learns is that even though we're supposed to cut the animal's neck, we should not break during the act of shechita the mafrekes, the neck bone. And in understanding Rashi's pshat, there's actually a number of opinions. The posh pshat in Rashi is because by breaking the neck bone, one causes that the blood of the animal remains in the animal and it doesn't drain out. And here too, the Mefarshim debate what does Rashi mean to say.
Some Mepharshim say that what Rashi means to say is that by Kachim, as we just said a moment ago, we have to do Kabbalah Saddam and Zerika Saddam, and if we're going to slaughter the animal in a way that the dam won't come out, we won't be able to do Kabbalah Saddam and Zerika Saddam properly. That's one approach in understanding Rashi. According to that, Rashi's concern is primarily by Kachim. Another approach, however, that I saw in explaining this Gemara, according to Rashi, is that we're speaking even about Chulin. And the concern by Chulin, with the blood not being drained out, are one of two concerns. One is, as we've been discussing, that we need to have the dam drain out of the animal, and if we're going to cut the neck as well, then the dam won't drain out properly. That's one approach. Another approach is that if the dam drains into the meat of the animal, so then the weight of the animal will not be proper, because there'll be a lot of blood absorbed in the meat. And when I'm selling somebody meat, I'm really going to not be honest. I'm going to be selling him more blood than meat. And of course, Chazal were concerned about that. Another pshat that we're showing what the Gemara means here with the Loyal Shabi Gistra is that the Gemara means that we shouldn't do a drusa. But this is the source for knowing that drusa is unacceptable by Shechita. And a third approach that I saw that the Rishonim suggest that Loyal Shavi Gistra is that the animal should be slaughtered from the front of the neck, the din that we learned in the previous parak, that Shechita is supposed to be done from the front of the animal, not from the back of the animal. Rav Yemer gives a different source how we know that Shechita, or he attempts to give a different source how we know that Shechita is done from the neck. Amakra v'zavachta, the makam shezav, from where blood flows, chateyu, that's where you should break the animal. And blood flows, obviously, from the neck. Ask the Gemara, my mashma, the high chateyu lishna mitbahu, and from where do we see that the word chateyu means to break? Answer the Gemara, because the pasuk says, except al tira v'altechus, don't be scared and don't become broken. Ask the Gemara, maybe it means from the nose, because we know that mucus flows from the nose. Answers the Gemara, what the pasuk means is zov ayde chita b'inen. It means that it should flow through your act of breaking. The high, what flows from the nose, zov me'elof, who it flows by itself. Ask the Gemara, veimim alibay. Maybe it means from the heart, because from the heart as well, the blood that flows. And furthermore, ask the Gemara, as we just asked before, all the other halachas of Shechita, Ashiya, Drasa, Chalada, Agrama, V'Ikar, Menola, where do we know all these halachas from? Ela Gemara. So the Gemara, Shechita Menat Saver is Nami, Gemara is a Mesorah. Ask the Gemara, if so, Ukrala Mayasa, why did the Pasuk come to teach us? So the Gemara, the Leila Shavi Gistra, that we shouldn't make it into Gistra, the different Pshatim that we learned. The Beir of Shmuel, Tana, V'Shochat, El Tikri V'Shochat, we know that in the Torah, there are no nekudas. So when the word v'shachat appears in the Torah, it doesn't necessarily spelled with a shin. It could be spelled with a sin, v'shachat. And furthermore, we know that the letter sin and the letter samach can be interchanged. Al tikri v'shachat, ela v'shachat with a samach, which means a mokum shesach, from the place that the animal emits noise, that's the place from where chateyu, that we should remove, we should kill it. Ask the Gemara, if we need to shech from the place that sound emanates, emim el shonai, maybe it means from the tongue. Answers the Gemara, being in dam and nefesh, as we've learned before, during the shechita, the dam and nefesh has to come out, and there is no dama nefesh for leka, there is no dama nefesh by the tongue. Ask the Gemara, indeed there may not be any dama nefesh by the tongue, but maybe what the Torah means is, ve'emu the kar v'ozla dama nefesh, cut the tongue until you get to the dama nefesh. V'su, in the question that we've been learning, all the other halachas of Shechita, shi'ed, rosa, chaloda, agrom, v'ikam, and nolam, where do we know these halachas from?
El Gemara. So the Gemara, Shechita Minatzava Nami is a Gemara. Ask the Gemara, if so, crawl my also. What did the Pasuk come to teach us? The Lord, the Shavya Grad, Gistra. Ask the Gemara. Says the Gemara, the Tana, there's a Tana that Braisel Mahocha. Teaches us that Shechita should be from the neck, from the following Pasuk. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rebchia Oimer, Renayin L'Shechita Minatzava, from we know that Shechita should be done by the throat. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, the Torah, when it discusses the carbon oil, says that we should arrange the pieces of the carbon oil on the Mizbeach. The Torah singles out as Haroish V'Sapodah. The words of the Torah are V'Orcho B'nei Aaron HaKahanim Es HaNesachim Es Haroish V'Sapodah Al Eitzim Ashalam Mizbeach Asher Al Eitzim Asher Al Eis Ashalam Mizbeach. And the question is, Ma Tam of Loimer as a Rosh Vesapadah? Why does the Torah single out the head and the fats? Fellow Rosh Upadah Bechal Kalim Sakum Hayu, aren't they part of all the other pieces of the carbon? Lama Yatsu, why were they singled out? Lefisha Nemer, because the Torah says, the Hisha is a Oila, you should skin the Oila of a Nita. Eli Elan the Sakim, so we said that the Torah is only referring to those pieces. Sheyeshna Bechal Ashata, that the halacha of skinning the carbon applies to. Minayin l'rabbi says Harosh, how do we know that the head, shekvah chutas, since it was already detached from the animal and was made into a separate piece, and therefore is not together with the rest of the carbon, that it should be, and therefore doesn't require any hefshit, doesn't require any skinning. Therefore, how do we know that that head is also included in what is arranged on the Mizbeach, included in the Nesachim? Tamaloymer, the Torah says, as Roshoy ves Pidroy for Arach. Midakomer, so what did the Braisa just say, says the Gemara? It's a Rosh Shekvahotas, that the head was already severed. Why was the head already severed? Because obviously, says the Gemara, Mechlal the Shechita, that when Shechita takes place, where does the Shechita take place from? Menat Sabor, from the throat. So we see that that's where the Shechita takes place. Even though the Mefarshim say, have we not just learned that the Shechita doesn't completely sever the head? That we just said that the Mefarekah should not be cut. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that even though it's not completely severed, it's mostly severed. And the fact that it's mostly severed is enough of a reason that it should be considered severed. That's one shot that I saw. Another shot is, when we speak about the mafrekis not being cut, it means that during the act of shechita, the mafrekis should not be disconnected. We should break the neck bone. But of course, ultimately, the head is certainly severed after the shechita from the rest of the animal. But now ask the Gemara on this braisa. Let's look at this braisa, says the Gemara. The Tana, Pasach Barosh Hapadah, the Tana began with the Pasik, that says V'orch b'nei Aaron kahanim es nesachim es haroish v'sapader. But then the Tana switches with another pasuk, the pasuk of V'nitach oisal nesachav v'sroish v'spidroy V'orch kahanim oisam al eitzim ashal eitzah shalom esbeah. So why did the Tana and the Braisa switch psukim? U'mesayim v'roish v'pidroy. Answer the Gemara Hakikama. This is the way to understand the Braisa. V'nayim l'rabbis es haroish. How do we know the head, Shikvah Hutas, that was already disconnected, is still included in this halacha, Tamaloyma, because the pasuk says, Asaroish Vesapadah. Ask the Gemara, and the Braisa continues to want to know, Varoish Pidroy Lomeli, why do we need that the Torah should say this pasuk of Varoish Pidroy? Of this, up for that, answers the Braisa, the Boilei Lechiratanya, we need to teach us the following halacha, Menayin Laroish Upadash Akkoyim Kalan Nesachim. How do we know that the first part of the animal, as we learned in Masech Zvachim, and we will Mitzvashem learn in Masech the Tamid, there was an entire procedure involved, how the parts of the animal were brought onto the Mizbeach. How do we know that the first parts of the animal that were put on the Mizbeach were the Rosh and Padr? Tamaloymer, and that's what the Pasuk teaches us, as Rosh and Pidre V'Orach, they are the first part that are put on the Mizbeach. So that we understand why the Torah had to say it's Rosh Shiva's Pidron. But why did Torah have to speak about Peder in the first pasuk as well? Lamui? Answer the Gemara, that's for a different reason. Boilul Katanya, Teitzu Oso. What is the proper way of bringing the head onto the Mizbeach? Choyfes a Peder Pesach Shvita. The fat should cover the place where the neck was disconnected from the animal, since there it's bloody, and it's not respectful to put it on the Mizbeach with the bloody incision exposed, and that's umalei, the way it should be put up. The Zeradar covered Shamala, and that's the way it's brought onto the Mizbeach. Let's just ask the question, why do we need the word Pedroi, says Taisus, we understand twice. One is to teach us this halacha that we just learned, that the fat covers the incision, and the other is to teach us that the head, that the fat comes up with the head first on the Mizbeach. But Taisus asks, why does the Torah have to say the din of Rosh twice? The Torah could have just said that once. So Taisus answers, the Torah has to say Rosh twice for the following reason. One is to teach us that the halacha of arranging applies to the head, because as we learned at Amun Aleph, we maybe would have thought that it doesn't apply to the head. And then to teach us another halacha, that even though it applies to the head, even though it applies to the head, the head should also be the first one put on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Bahai Tana, this Tana that we're now going to quote, learns the halacha that Shechitas Min Tzavar from this source, Mahata. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, Zois Tairus Habahem Va'if. The Torah sort of makish, the Torah connects the halacha of an animal and oif. Ask the Brisa, V'chibe Eves a Torah Shifts a Behem Loif. And watch in which way are animals and birds the same. Voice of Behem and birds to animals. We know, says the Brisa, that as far as Hilchus Tumas Nevela is concerned, birds and animals are very different. Because birds are Matama B'magwe Masa, and oif ain't Matama B'magwe Masa, that a nevela of an animal is matama by carrying or touching, a bird not. On the other hand, a nevela's oif tame is matama begodim abeis ablia, that if somebody swallows a kezayis of nevela's oif, he becomes tame. Behema ene matama begodim abeis ablia. And as Rishonim point out, where would there be a case that a behema should be tame by beis ablia? If we have we not just said that an animal becomes tame as soon as it's put, as soon as a nevela of behemoth, you become tame as soon as you touch it or carry it? So the Rishonim answer, it will be in a case where somebody had somebody else put the nevela meat into someone else's mouth, into his throat. There was no magu masa there, but there was tumas beis ablia. So that isn't, says the Braisa, where animals and birds are the same. So be'ez a Torah shafts a behema loif, loif la behema, loy malach, ma behema b'shkita, just like behema has to have shkita, af oif b'shkita. So continues the Braisa, ima lahalon, if we would say, just like by an animal, as we learned in our Mishnah, the way shkita is done is b'roif shnayim, af kan, a bird shechita should also be done only strictly b'roiv shnayim. That's why it says the b'raisa tamalon the zois, that only by an animal both samarim have to be severed, not by a bird. Rebbe Lez has a different way of understanding this b'raisa. Be'ez a Torah shifts the behem loif. How is an animal, how's like a bird like an animal, how's an animal like a bird, v'oif like behema, and a bird like an animal, loif melof, ma oif. We know that the Torah tells us that when you kill a bird, you kill it by the neck, because as we learned in the previous parish, Malika is done by the neck. It has to be done from the neck. So, continues the Braisa, as we learned, Malika is done from the back of the head. That's how Malika is performed. Perhaps Shechita also should be done from the back of the neck. Tamloimer, Umolak es Roshoi mimul arpoi v'loyato. Roshi shozem mimul oirif, strictly by a bird is the Malika, is done from the back of the head. Vein Roshi shalach mimul arpoi, not by an animal. Ask the Gemara of Rebbe Lezer, Hai Zois, my Ovelay. What does he do with the word Zois? Answers the Gemara, Eloi Zois have a mina ma'oif the simen echot. Just like an animal, we know Malik is done by one simen. Af behema the simen echot. So too, by behema, one simen should be enough. Chas rachman Zois, that's what the Torah says, the word Zois, that by a bird, it's enough to sever only one simen. By an animal, you have to sever both simen. Ask the Rishonim, we learned extensively in the previous parak that by an oif, by chatas oif, only one simen is severed. By oilas oif, both simonim are severed. So why is the Gemara want to learn from a chatas oif and therefore suggest that by a behemah only one simen would be adequate? We should learn by an oilas oif where the simen both simonim. And as the Rishonim make the question a little stronger, because we know that whenever we learn a hekesh, we prefer to learn a hekesh l'chumra than to learn the hekesh l'kula. So we should preferably learn from the oilas oif than from the chatas oif. Answer the Rishonim. So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer is, as we learned, both are based on what we learned in the previous parak. One answer is that we remember in the previous parak, the halachas of chatas oif were very clear in the Torah. The halach of oilas oif, on the other hand, weren't that clear. So if we're going to learn, we're going to preferably learn from the halachas of the oilas oif, where the Torah is very clear what should be done. That's one terence that I saw. Another terence that I saw is that really Malika is performed with just doing one simon. The halacha that we need to do two simonim by oilas oif is for a different reason altogether. And that is because, as we learned, there's a din of havdalah that the Torah says should be done by oilas oif. And the Torah says that havdalah is performed by cutting both simonim. But that isn't the din in shechita. That's a din in havdalah. And here in our Gemara, we're speaking about hilchas shechita, not about hilchas havdalah. Talking about kapara, a different way of understanding this. Pasuk. Zois teres behema va'oif. Hitl kasev oif ben behema l'dogim. As the Rishonim explain. At the beginning of the parasha, the Torah first mentions behemoth, then dagim, and then oifus. At the end of the parasha, the Torah says it in a different order. Behema, then oif, and then dogim. Says Bakapara, why did the Torah change the order and hit the lakos of oif and behem l'dogim and put birds between animals and fish? L'chayv b'shnei simanim asher, to teach us that to treat a bird like an animal with two simanim have to be caught is not true. Shefar hok shel dogim, because we compare it to dogim that we see don't require shechit at all. L'pratra b'loy klumi asher, to say nothing is required is also not tenable. Shekvar hok shel behem, because it's compared to an animal. Hakeitzah. So how should a bird be slaughtered? Hechsherib simen echad, just cut one simen. Ask the Gemara, and dogim devladnei shechita memala. From where do we know indeed that the halacha is that fish do not require any shechita at all? Answers the Gemara, ilei mishum deksiv hatzoyim ubakar yishach lehem ims kol dei hayog yosef lehem. The Torah says the word Yosef, which means only gathering, and the Torah is teaching us that gathering the fish alone is enough, nothing more is required. But the Torah spoke about the slav when Klai Yisrael complained that they didn't have meat, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu brought them the quail. It said Yosef as a slav. Are we going to suggest that the slav didn't require shechita? For Amrit, we just said slav, which is a bird, will partible like klumi efshur, shikvar hokush lebehema. So we see that the Torah doesn't necessarily mean asifa. The word asifa doesn't necessarily mean killing. Doesn't necessarily mean that there was no shechita. Answers the Gemara. We can't compare these two situations. Hasam, when the Torah speaks about the slav, let siv asifa v'makam shechita dakrina. The Torah doesn't speak about shechita by one thing and a sifa by another thing to the contrast. It only says a sifa. Hacha, when the Torah speaks about the fish,
a sifa b'makom shchita d'akrina. The Torah is speaking about a shchita, and the Torah is singling out the fish to say a sifa of a fish is enough. Interesting machlokes rishonim. Now we're saying that a sifa is required. A fish doesn't require shchita. All that's required is a sifa. So there are rishonim. It seems to be the opinion of the Rambam. A sifa means that a sifa is required. That we have to go through an asifa, and that means, according to the Rambam, let's say there would be a dead fish drawn out of the ocean. So there was no asifa, that would not be mutter to eat that fish. It has to have a sifa, and a sifa is in the place of the shchita. Another interesting question is that we're learning now that that fish don't have to go through a shchita. They have to go through a sifa we just mentioned. But the question is, can a fish be eaten while it's live? The Rav Sagi Goyim, the Rav Sag, seems to hold that it's also to eat a live fish. The machloek is why. Some say because it may be considered Eva Menachai, or some say it could be because it's Baal Teshaksu. It's a disgusting thing to eat a completely live fish. The Nafkamina would be if somebody took off a part of a fish while it's live. There's no longer a concern about the shaksu, but there is a concern of Eva Menachai. We don't paskin that there's an issa to eat a live fish because of Eva Menachai. Furthermore, here we see that fish are treated differently than birds and than animals. Animals require two simanim, fish, birds only one simon, fish nothing. And the Mashal explains, because the reason for this distinction is that animals are considered closer connected to the ground, as we'll see in a moment, and therefore they're more magushim, and shchita is required. Birds are in the middle, and therefore only one simon is required. Fish are considered the least magushim, and therefore no shchita is required on fish at all. Another pshat is, as we discussed from the Torah's Chaim, the reason why something that's not properly slaughtered is also to be eaten is because it was affected by the Malach HaMoves. So animal, the only way we could keep away, so to speak, the Malach HaMoves is by shechting Tusimon. A bird, which has less connection to the Malach HaMoves, one simon is enough. A fish, no simonim are required. And now we can also understand, say the Mefarshim, why when shchita is done, as we learned at the beginning of the parak, the shchita is done on the kana and the veshit. The kana and the veshit are the esophagus and the trachea, which is what brings life to the animal. It's the most connected to Gashmias, as the Mashal explained. Shchita should be done where there is the greatest connection to Gashmias. Furthermore, from our Gemara it seems that the Slav required Shchita. Even though the Slav was, according to most Mefarshim, not regular birds, the birds that came down in Hashemayim, we see that even not regularly born birds require Shchita. Furthermore, our Gemara is the basis that the Mefarshim suggests why one should eat and be careful to eat fish on Shabbos. Some say we're careful to eat fish on Shabbos because the word dag, Dalet Gimel, is the Matthew 7, and Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. Others say that just like Shabbos is separate from all the other days of the week, so too are fish swim in the ocean where they're not visible to us, separate from everything else in the world. But the Kotzker suggests, as we've learned in our Gemara, that animals, birds, in their preparation, we do mitzvahs, shchita,
a nikur, a melicha. And in fact, that's why the Mepharshim say Avraham Avinu was so anxious to serve the Malachim, he thought they were Arabs, meat, because he wanted them to eat something which so many mitzvahs were performed with. But fish, as we're learning, there's no mitzvah performed in the eating of fish. So how do we have a mitzvah in the eating of the fish? By eating it on Shabbos, and the Mekayim mitzvah, Suda Shabbos, Einik Shabbos, so the fish also are used as part of a mitzvah. In fact, the Michsa Lazar says in the name of the Bnei Yisachar that that's why in certain communities there's a minhag that Shabbos after davening in the morning they make kiddush before they start the Suda, and they eat, they make kiddush and eat cake and eat fish. Why specifically the fish or the herring? Because they want that if you eat the fish in part of the meal, then you don't make a separate bracha on the fish. But if you eat the fish before the meal, you're going to make a bracha on that fish. And since, as we just explained, the fish also want to be involved in mitzvah, so eat the fish and make a separate bracha on the fish. Says the Gemara, Dorish Oyver Galola, Behemosh Nivris Menei Abosha, animal that was created from the ground, Hechsher B'Shnei Simonim, becomes kosher with the shechting two simonim. Dogim shenivru min amayim, hechsher b'loy klum, requires nothing. Oif shenivru min rakak, which is a little of both, hechsher b'simen echad, one simen. Amr shmul kavtaka, and he explains teda, shirei oifis, yeshlem keshkeshes, we'll look at birds that have scales on the feet, kedogim. And as the Rishonim explained, what's he trying to say? That was trying to say that the influence that birds had or water had on the creation of birds remains forever, because we see that's the way birds actually look like. Furthermore, since we see that the creation of animals and birds was so different, animals and fish were so different, that's why we know that we have to be very careful not to mix meat and fish. Because as our Gemara is showing, their creation, the basic essence is so very different. But Shalom, another question was asked. Kotzvech Reimer, B'yayim Elokim, Yishutsu Hamayim, Sheretz Nefesh Chayiv Oif Yoifif. Alma, which seems to say that the Oif was created Mimayim Ivru, from water. But yet, another pasuk says, V'yitz Hashem Elokim Min Adoma, as Kol Chayiv Hasodah, that's called Oif HaShemayim, Alma Mi'ar Ivru. They were created from the land. How do we reconcile these two psukim? Omlam and Kat Nivru. They were created from mud, which has a combination of earth and water. Ra Talmidim Staklon Zabazer. So the Talmidim saw that they were looking at each other. Omlam Kosh Ben Nechem, Shadachisi Es Oivi Bekash. Are you upset that I pushed them away? The truth is, minamayim nivru. Fowl were created exclusively from the water. V'lama avim el Adam. Why were they brought to the Adam? Likros lam shem, only that they should, other Mauritians should call them and give them their proper names. But now the Gemara gives a different version. V'yesh arim b'loshin acher om alois ahegman. But b'loshin rishon, that what he said to them was, what he told the Talmidim is what he, in the previous explanation, is actually what he told the general. And what he told the general in the previous terrorists is actually what he's told the Talmidim. Because in the second pasuk it says Vayitzer, and Vayitzer goes on their creation. Says the Gemara, Midah Raisa Oifus don't require Shechita. Shnemar V'Shofach V'Shvich V'Al Masagi. But as the Mepharshim point out, of course they have to be killed, otherwise there will be an Isser, there wouldn't be an Isser of Eivim and Achai. And furthermore, they have to be killed by the Simonim. Just, they don't have to be killed specifically midaraisa through an act of Shechita. Why? Because if there wouldn't be a Chiyiv of killing them by the Simonim, how would there ever be a Nevela? And we discussed earlier in our Shir, there's a concept of Nevelas Oiftar. Furthermore, a very interesting point that some Achrayim make, that even though our Gemara seems to be taking this lenient position, this Madam is taking this lenient position regarding Oifis that don't require Shechita, there's actually a chumrah. Because we know, we've discussed and will discuss, that an animal, a bird, after the slaughter are mefachis, they still convulse. Midaraisa, that animal, and that animal is considered dead. But if we say that there is no chiyuv shechita by an oif, we would have to wait for pirchus to end by an oif in order to be able to eat that oif. Ask the Gemara, ihachi, if so, that the Torah separates the oifus from the chiyuv shechita, chaya nami, since chaya is also mentioned in that pasuk, so there should be no chiyuv of shechita by non-domesticated animals. Answer the Gemara, iskish b'psulei hamikdashim. The pasuk compares chayas to the other to animals that you can't bring. The pasuk says tzvi vayol, so just like a chay, so we see that it has the same din as a behemoth. Ask the Gemara, but oif nami iskish l'behemoth. The pasuk that we keep on mentioning in this year, the tziv zoif tyrus habehemoth oif. So the Gemara tziv ashafach stamay, but the pasuk clearly indicates that shechita is not required. Says the Gemara, so now what we have here is, we have one pasuk that compares something to behemoth, which shechita is required, and another pasuk that says it should be treated differently. So our Gemara is interpreting that the oif doesn't require shechita, and the chay does require shechita. Ask the Gemara, maybe we should say the other way. My chaz is the shadilei oif. Why are we saying the exemption from shechita is by oifis, shadya chay? Maybe we should say it's by chayis. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra Mishum Nesolot Menei. The pasuk that speaks about the Shafach Estomoy, the words of Shafach Estomoy come right after the word Oif. So it makes sense to say that the Shafach Estomoy, that Shechit is not required, is speaking about Oifis, and that Chaya should be compared to Behema, where Shechit will be required.